Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show. It's so nice to have you back. We took a break during the Thanksgiving holiday, and so it's been a while. It's been 2 weeks. And here we are again, and I'm so delighted to be back with you here and now. Tonight we have, I think, a most delightful show, and time will tell that best. Our guest tonight is Rosalie Dearhart, and the topic is High Beam Living and Loving, Embracing Your Soul Story. Wow, I love that. Today there were some episodes in the news that have a lot of people fretting, and you know, it really doesn't matter what day it is and what episode it is. There's been some bumpy roads in our human condition, and a lot of times the media will show us stories and tell us scenarios of how, quote, life is, unquote. And it's important to understand the perspective, the scale of what's going on. If you prick the very tip of your little finger and it gets infected, and there's a little biological chaos going on in a very small spot on your finger, your body doesn't worry about that too much. And yet, if you zoom in with a microscope and you look at the seeming chaos going on in that tiny little infection, and you spent all your time staring at that chaos, then you'd lose perspective of the scale, the momentum of life itself. The life force energy, inner chi, that's flowing through you and me and all of life on this planet is such an immense amount of raw power every single moment. It would be like a drop as it relates to an ocean. Yet the media will take a little story of our wake-up call. We chose to go through this experience as souls, and we chose to have souls sound the alarm and wake us up from our deep slumber. We are indeed a sleeping giant, and we're waking up. And when we see events that challenge the integrity of our human condition, that challenge the idea of what it means to be human, and paints a story of despair and heartache, the scale of any story of any human condition is but a tiny drop in an ocean of potential, where human beings living out a life story, both individually and collectively. But if we peel away the flesh and bones, every one of us is a soul incarnate. And souls are fascinating things in the sense that they have no concept of fear and they have no concept of limitation. But it's only when we get into our little mind, our ego mind, and we look at a very, very, very small aspect of society that's been blown out of proportion by being played over and over again in the media, when our little mind starts believing that and worrying about it and fretting about that, we're making a smaller and smaller portal for our heart and our soul to personify the truth of who we are. And the soul needs, because of free will, the ego is allowed to take any stance it wants. But in order for the heart and the soul, the power, the raw power of the heart and the soul, to be able to personify through a single human being like you and me, the ego needs to let go and trust. And if we stay attached to the story of the collective that the media is showing us, so oftentimes the ego will get stuck in pattern and repetition, and it won't give, it literally won't give a platform for the heart and soul to show up. And so when you see the stories in the news, it's an alarm clock. It's an agreed-upon alarm clock to shake us at a very deep level because we've been asleep at a very deep level. For hundreds of thousands of years, our collective has gone right to the edge of darkness itself, and our collective soul agreements chose that because it affords us the entire spectrum of human consciousness to be transcended in a single lifetime. And that is a story of stories. That is a most incredible opportunity for a soul to personify as a human being on a planet like this beautiful one we call Earth. When you get a glimpse of your story, and if you can get your ego to relax and chill out and calm down and be still and trust your heart and your soul. It's a semi-simple sentence to say. The immense love in your heart and your soul can give peace to your ego no matter what the story is. And when you stay at peace in your own persona, in your own heart, you become an anchor of the truth in the chaos of the storm. You become an anchor, a point of presence of peace that you mirror to the collective through this holographic thing we call consciousness. And by realizing the truth of what's going on, that our human condition is in a very positive state. It's our the love of humanity is expanding exponentially every moment, and that we're at the precipices of the most glorious era of our human condition. When you can see that and anchor that, you through your very presence becomes the answer to prayers for peace in the hearts of people that can't find that for themselves. What a powerful place to be. We all have a powerful story waiting for us if we're willing to show up for it. And that's what I really like about tonight's episode. High beam, living and loving. That says it all. I love the notion of high beam, over the top, wide open, bright as can be, living and loving. And our guest tonight, Rosalie Dearhart, embodies that so well. Her business card reads, Cosmic Catalyst, and I like that. I want you to join me in welcoming her on the show. Welcome to the show, Rosalie.
Thank you, Les. Thank you.
So, what brings you to planet Earth this time?
I think it's a continuing lesson for me, and I loved what you had to say about love, because for me, love is a frequency, and we all get to choose what frequency we're going to shine every moment of every day, and this world is a challenge. This world is giving us so many opportunities every single day. And for me, the antidote to pain and violence, outrageous pain, outrageous violence, is outrageous love. There, for me, there's not another way. It we as we feel love within our hearts, as we reach out in love to embrace people who are different than we are, as we surround our planet and other planets and other universes with love, we amplify that frequency. So for me, love is who we are, not what we do. Love is being. And high being, living and loving, it is being midwives. Now, I know that's a sexist term, but, you know, midwives of loving consciousness. So, you know, I do a lot of teaching and speaking, and I always have a pair of I always have several pairs of sunglasses with me, Les. Because for me, this lifetime, it's high being, living, and loving. And if there are people who have a hard time with my light, I hand them sunglasses because I'm not going to mute my light. It's not what I came here for. And I think there are so many studies about the power of love and the power of meditation to transform consciousness. We just simply need to make a commitment and to remember that we carry a divine spark. We're divine beings, and that's our legacy. And that's part of what drove us to be here on this earth at this time. And we're making friends with others and trusting in the radiance of love to bring us all home to who we are.
Boy, I like that. Now, for you to have that platform that you've just described, what can you tell us about your life journey in this chapter of it? I mean, what do you bring to the table to help others with? Like, if I'm a listener and I'm listening to Rosalie, what kind of interactions and opportunities do you provide our listeners and people on the planet?
Well, I do lots of workshops all over the world, and this year the emphasis has been on miracles that we all carry. Miracle potential and miracle consciousness. And when we peel away ego, and for me, ego is anything that is outside of love. So it can be fear, it can be separation, it can be scarcity, it can be judgment. Anything that we have walled off from love is ego, for me.
Or shadow.
And for me, grace is present when we let go of everything in our consciousness that is outside of love. So I've been doing a lot of workshops on miracle manifestation and awakening to our potential. I mean, we are cells in the body of the Creator. And as cells in the body of the Divine, we came here with a unique soul's purpose to serve, to uplift I believe these times that we're living in are shaking us awake. I mean, if we've kind of run on low beam, or I don't know if there's a middle beam. I think there is a middle beam. It's no longer acceptable. It's no longer enough. I mean, the planet is crying out for attention and love, and the choices we make define our life, not just this one, but future lifetimes as well. So I bring a message of, okay, let's surrender anything, any ways we dim our light. Let's simply surrender and expect that we will have community with other people who are saying, okay, I'm going for high beam too, rather than get scared because we're upping our energy, we're upping our frequency, and, you know, what will happen if there's no one there? My experience is if I embrace my authentic self, that there are, I call them evolutionary buddies that step up to the plate. And an evolutionary buddy is someone who sees and believes in you, in your potential, and basically says, okay, I'm going to confront you, I'm going to support you, I'm going to comfort you so that you can be all that you can be. And at the end of this lifetime, you can say, well done.
Right. The idea of a vision that your soul has for your life, this idea, this dream that was in place before you were even born, and then you go through the birth process and forget, and then it's that return. It's the return to knowingness, I think, that makes the journey so curious. I mean, if we knew the truth of who we are, if we knew the absolute truth of who we are, nothing would make us fearful. Nothing would hold us back. And the journey to come out of the darkness and embody the light at a ever expanding amount is the joy of it all. You know, it's without so much flipping darkness, we wouldn't understand just how brilliant the light is.
Yeah, I agree. You know, my journey, my spiritual journey, my personal journey has not been an easy one. When I was 33, I had an unwanted, complete emergency hysterectomy. And 3 months later, my son, Mike, who was 14, was electrocuted in the schoolyard. I was 33 and had never, I had never known anyone who had died. And I was a psychotherapist and was training, actually, with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross in terms of helping people through the grief process. And
to prepare for yourself.
Exactly. My son, Mike, began communicating with me. And, you know, if you're a psychotherapist and you begin to hear voices in your head, it's not a good sign. And and
you
yet,
kick the you kick the client off the couch and you go lay down there yourself. Is that it?
Exactly, exactly. or you take yourself to the nearest psychiatric ward. And yet, the reality that I had a son who was dead, who was speaking to me, who had wisdom, and guidance was real. I could not deny that reality. And now I embrace people who are, quote, dead as inspirited ones, because for me, they still have motion, they still have energy, they still have intention, there's still communication that happens. But that, I mean, his death put me on my spiritual journey. I really do not think I would be doing the depth of work I do in the world today had it not been for Mike's death.
Right.
So, you know, my journey hasn't been, I believe happiness is a choice. I believe love is who we are. And that love is challenged every day, including, you know, are we being self-loving? Are we telling the truth? Are we caring for the planet? For me, every night when I go to bed, I do a little reflection on my day in terms of, how have I added to love this day? And I make an agreement that the next day I'm going to add even more. And that's
nice.
My lens. Yeah, that's my lens for the day. And I think, you know, outrageous loving in the world that we live in today where pain is so present. I mean, you turn TV on and it's right there. And so many people I know numb themselves and feel helpless. And my soul story, it is really about the power of love to transform consciousness. That's the story.
Very nice. I like that. When you talk about this, you turn on the TV and you see the story of pain and struggle. I like the idea that the collective consciousness, this collective story that we're living out, really, in truth, isn't outside of us. It's on the inside of us. If the source of life is within, then all of life is within our own being. And so when you talk about you being the vessel of love, when you hold that love in your heart and through your consciousness observe the collective and hold it in love, I would think that's the very elixir that is what heals the love of the collective by people like you who embody that, can see past the darkness of the storm and show up in a loving embrace.
I think that's why we're all here. I think we're all here practicing, practicing love. You know, Rumi's poem, there are thousands of ways to kiss the ground. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's like every person's soul's purpose and every single person's soul narrative is unique. And we need them all, you know, because that's that's the power that does affect the collective.
So when you work with your clients and your client's soul, how what kind of dynamics are there between the person on the couch, if you will, and their soul? What kind of dynamics is there, and can you share some impersonal stories of what that's looked like?
Sure. Well, first of all, there's no couch.
I was going out on a limb, and there's no limb either, so.
Yeah, right. There's no couch. There's often a beach. There's often
nice.
A walk. There's often a walk in the woods, because I believe nature is a reflection of soul. So I'm out in nature as much as I can when I'm in Maine. I'm in Maine for 4 months, and I live outside in a tent. I sleep on the ground. There's a cabana around me because I want to be present. I want to be present for the immensity. I want to be present for when twilight transforms to night. I want to be present. I want to watch the stars. I want to marvel at the fireflies. I want to be in God's grandeur. To the best of my ability, when I'm doing a soul reading, and I do those individually, a soul reading basically is a summary of a person's cosmic report card. So it looks at soul's purpose, you know, or life plan. It looks at soul qualities, which are where the person's power and healing are grounded. Edgar Cayce would call those ideals. It looks at life lessons in terms of themes and patterns that you've come to wrap your arms around this lifetime. It looks at past lifetime overlays in terms of themes that might bleed through from past lifetimes that have not been integrated. It checks on vows that a person may have made in the past that may be affecting this lifetime. So it's kind of like a soul reading gives a printout of agreements made in this lifetime, so that a person can make clearer choices, and it provides a template that you can use in terms of making very clear, conscious choices. And I love doing them. I've been doing these for 35 years. So half my lifetime, I have been doing soul readings.
Wow.
And everyone is different, and every time is like jumping off a mountain, because I never know what I'm going to say. And this week I just started doing soul readings by Skype. For some reason I just thought, oh, technology and soul, oh, don't know. But what I do know is that wisdom is beyond duality. And what I do know is I created a duality. So I do my best when I do either or create dualities to see where wisdom wants to flow. So I started doing Skype soul readings and worked with someone from New Zealand and someone from England and someone from the Netherlands. Soul is non-local. So a soul reading is channeled. So basically I connect in with an energy center I know as High Heart, which is midway between human heart and throat. And I merge and mingle my energy to join the person I'm reading's energy. The soul is non-local, so you can do that. You can travel across space and time. And we call in their guides and my guides, and my mouth opens, and we're all surprised. So it's like a soul reading is like seeing your soul agreements through a telescope, and what happens is it puts pieces of the puzzle together in just a very creative, graceful way. And oftentimes our human response is tears. So let me give you an example, because you asked for an example before. I just gave my long-winded explanation here.
No worries.
I was doing a reading with a man from New Zealand, and he called because his business had failed, the relationship had collapsed, he was not feeling healthy, and was pretty miserable. So he wanted a soul reading, and part of his soul reading went back to a past lifetime where he was a wizard, actually. So you can imagine he agreed to bring in the frequency of wizardry and magic. And magic for me is the art of changing consciousness at will. And in that lifetime, he overstepped his boundaries and really got into a place of mistaking himself for God. At the end of that lifetime, he realized what he had done, and so he put a spell on himself that said, basically, I'm never going to trust myself again. That thought, that belief stayed in his consciousness. So now he's in this lifetime. He's an entrepreneur, making a big impact, and decided he didn't want to overstep his powers this lifetime, so he shut down on them. And that was an example of a past lifetime bleed through. He didn't have conscious memory of the lifetime, but he almost had conscious memory of the vow he made never to trust himself again. So, you know, we went back and integrated that past lifetime. He did forgiveness, a bit of forgiveness work in terms of forgiving himself for his arrogance and forgiving himself for holding himself hostage or in penance this lifetime, and then reclaimed present day's soul's purpose. So, I mean, that's a pretty intense example. One of the things I love about my work, I was a family therapist for 30 years, and I loved I loved working deeply with people. And So when I do a soul reading, I bring my mediumship skills, but also my understanding of psychology into the process. So it's very sweet. And you can read more about it. You can read about this on my website. I made a couple of videos last summer outlining what a soul reading is. There's a lot of information there. Do you want my website name?
Sure. Sure.
Okay. It's heart, HEART hyphen soul, SOUL hyphen healing. com. And there's lots of interesting articles. There's a song that my guides channeled to me. Actually, it was in the middle of a heated argument with my partner, and our egos were rampaging out of control. And my guides came through with the song, and the song is "Keep Your Heart Open, Keep Your Heart Open, Keep Your Heart Open to Love." And in the middle of this argument, if you can believe it, my guides are singing me this song, and I'm sitting there realizing, oh, I'm at choice point here. I can continue to argue and convince myself I'm right, or I can be silent and let this song and the meaning of this song keep my heart open, keep my heart open, keep my heart open to love, penetrate to my bones, and so that I can be more soul-centered and less ego-driven. And I had that song recorded, and it's on my website. And I have people who tell me they play it every morning. The refrain to that is, once you've got it, you know, once, yep, my heart is open. The refrain is, my heart is open, my heart is open, my heart is open to love. If I were a better singer, I would sing it, but it's done by a lovely singer on my website, and your guests can download it. You know, it's free, and when I'm aware that I'm falling into the trap of ego, be it fear or self-righteousness, or being competitive, I just that refrain of that song feels like it's been programmed into my DNA, and and it is like, oh, okay, you need to remember, and it's really a lovely call to be present.
Right. Well, you were talking about the example you gave where the individual had overstepped his boundaries in a previous life and then polarized himself to not embrace his power. I mean,
yes.
You know, which is what you shared. And now here he is in another lifetime, and he's deemed himself powerless, my words, and he's trying to go through life. It almost seems like a pendulum where if you take power too much and you embody it as if you're the only source of it, the person, mm-hmm. you know, and then if you swing the pendulum the other way and you disown it and you don't allow yourself any sense of personal power. It seems like the dance of the soul is to find that sweet spot of balance in the middle.
Yeah, you know, I think I call that grace. I think karma
sure.
is opposite of grace. So, you know, this is a karmic theme for this gentleman. And he had also made it a little complicated because he really believed that the only way people were safe around him was if he backed away from his power.
Well, that's not very healthy.
So it was quite a conundrum that he had. It was quite a conundrum that he had created for himself.
Sure. Well, I like the idea of grace as when something is graceful, there's transformation and sometimes very profound transformation. Yet there's comfort and peace. Where when there's not grace, there's transformation and you feel like you've been through the ringer or just came out of a hurricane. That's not grace. But to make a very profound and deep transformation of self and be at ease in that moment, in the very moment that it happens, that's grace. And grace always comes from that higher consciousness, that higher level of unconditional love.
Yeah, for me, you know, grace is an emanation of soul. And that's miracle consciousness. You know, we're coming back around here. That's definitely, for me, miracle consciousness. And each of us at High Beam Living and Loving knows that we're not only entitled to grace, we are also bestowers of grace. And that is huge for someone to claim.
Indeed. To embody.
Embody. Right. Claim it. Ground it. Live it. Extend it. Yes. Yeah, you stand out, you know?
That's why
you stand out. You stand out when you say, okay, I'm going to live my life authentically. I'm going to be aware of soul's purpose. I'm going to make choices and decisions that are in alignment with my soul's purpose. I am going to discover what joys of service I have come here to contribute to the planet. And when you do it, that is high being, living and loving. That is high frequency. And that means that you stand out. You know, you stand out. And so being comfortable standing out and having your evolutionary buddies support and celebrate you standing out because they're also standing out. I believe that's just an evolutionary, power place.
Right. Well, I like what you said about becoming more authentic with who you are. As you yourself, when you started this awakening process in your life, and you consider the idea of authentic living or being authentic to who you are, what kind of changes or inspirations or whatever did you go through with your own personal sense of self as far as it came to growing a deeper understanding of who you are authentically?
Well, I had to look at several beliefs that I had that I had taken in from the culture, from my family, in terms of, do these beliefs really serve me being honest and truthful? So that's certainly one place. I really had to let go of wanting approval and wanting everyone to be my friend. I sometimes say my middle name is Rosalie Surrender Heart, because surrender has really been a huge teacher for me, especially surrendering to being vulnerable, to being open, to being receptive, to listening and waiting, and not pushing myself or my own agendas. So surrender is right up there in terms of what I want to say, healing. Yes, right up there in terms of healing, being in a place of curiosity and not knowing, having patience when a soul call comes, you know, a call to action, a soul call, having patience that as I step more deeply or more lightly, as sometimes the call is, into taking action on that soul call, more will be revealed. Because in my experience, when a soul call comes, or a destiny date, however you want to call it, much more is concealed initially than revealed. And only when I'm willing to act or to claim or to risk, and whatever that soul call is inviting me to go beyond, because the soul call always asks me to be more than I imagine I am or can be. So a soul call basically says, okay, try this, go here, try that. And rarely do you see the end point at the beginning of a soul call. So just trusting that when I'm on my path, when I recognize a soul call, and when I take a step in that direction, that's the application. When I make the application, I'm going to know more about the essence of that soul call. I'm going to realize more about my authentic self by taking action, not knowing what the outcome is, just entering into the mystery and saying, okay. So, and you know, I consecrated my life to my soul's purpose this lifetime. And it's made a huge difference. It's made a huge difference for me, and I'm pretty sure that decision to consecrate my life to my soul's path or to the divine choreography has made a difference in the lives of people that I've touched.
Oh, certainly. So how would you describe yourself? I mean, so here you are on your path and that authentic sense of self and soul awakenings have happened over time. How would you describe yourself today compared to who you were maybe 10 years ago?
I would describe myself as magnetic, creative. I'm a sculptor. I do stone sculpting. At peace, so peaceful. in awe of in awe of the beauty and the possibility of this life and the potential that each of us has to transform our own consciousness. Like 10 years ago, 10 years ago, I did not have the depth of sensitivity and amazement and deep faith that I have today.
I like that.
That was a great question. Thank you.
Well, it's kind of a reflection of what this material can do for you. You know, it's the before and after concept. So when you think about your clients, how would you describe your ideal client?
You know what, Les? Every client is my ideal client.
Well,
I'm serious.
Sure.
I am so serious about this because when I do a soul reading, I get to hang out with the best this person has. I'm hanging out with their essence. I'm right in their soul grid. You know, I'm making soul contact. So
I understand that, but just flip it over. I understand what you're saying, and I like it. But okay, I'm the listener, and I'm living my life, and I have X, Y, and Z going on, and X is okay, and Y is kind of a pain in my ass, and this Z thing I just can't wrap my noggin around. What I'm getting at is, as a listener, what kind of things would, as far as life experiences, would you be able to help them with to connect you with the audience?
Well, on the broad picture, what their soul's purpose is, why they're here, what brings joy, what brings maximum health. What forms of service have they chosen to manifest this lifetime? In a reading, energy follows need. So that's why I'm saying every reading is different.
Sure. All right. Well, how can people... sign up for sessions? You mentioned Skype and you mentioned a global platform. Do you meet people in person?
They can come to Virginia and have a walk on the beach with me.
Very nice.
I also do private retreats. I also do workshops. That's all on my website. So if they just want to visit my website, there's a banquet there. I think that would be the easiest way, because they can sign up for a soul reading and, we'll schedule a time and a date, or If they're interested in an upcoming workshop, they can email me. It's pretty easy.
Well, very nice. And you've written 8 books, so can you tell us about your latest book?
My most recent book is called Soul Befriending, and it basically is a year's workshop between covers, and it's how to move from personal, ego-centered story into your unique soul narrative. There's lots of exercises. You know, I've been a teacher for lifetimes, so there's always lots of exercises and activities in my book. My first book was called Healing Grief, A Mother's Story. And basically it was my my personal journal through a 7-year grieving cycle over my son's death.
Sure.
That's when my intuition opened. That's that's when I began to talk to, quote, dead people, who I call inspirited ones.
Right.
Most of my books are about love in all its forms and the transformation of consciousness, and that we're the guardians of our energy this lifetime, and our frequency determines how we are in our life, what we see, how we interact. By making sure we love daily and spread that love around, that's how we can raise our frequency.
Well, I like that.
And affect the collective consciousness.
I like that. Well, an hour goes by pretty fast, so I want to thank you for being our guest on the show tonight.
Well, thank you for your presence and your service and your great questions.
Thank you. Rosalie Dearheart of High Beam Living and Loving, Embracing Your Soul Story. You know, you can hear how open people's hearts are, and she certainly has hers dialed in. The New Human Living radio shows we do are for you, to bring you opportunities to connect with people and ideas that help transform your life. You know, the next time you're traveling, or even if you're going to commute to work every day, you can dial up a New Human Living radio episode and listen to it. A commute time can be a great time to listen to stories and ideas that help transform your life. And that's what we do here on the show. We bring you powerful opportunities to reveal a deeper sense of who you are. So you can go to newhumanliving.com and click on the radio tab, and the episodes will be right there. So it's really pretty easy to dial those in. You know, you showed up for yourself tonight. You listened to this episode, and it's when you take steps to grow who you are that you change the rest of your life. And you've done that tonight, and I thank you for that. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast to bring your soul's inspiration into effect and live your life wide open. Check out our host, Les Jensen's latest book, Citizen King, The New Age of Power, at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.